a special show on Saturday because you guys kept demanding it. The Greg Wilson is back. He is back. We also have CB Gold.
What's up, guys?
That's right. CB Gold's golden gold gold.
CB Gold's back. We got
Don't even think about bringing that silver shit over here.
Don't think about bringing it. I want to thank our sponsor. When you find yourself in need, trust in speedweed.com for overnight delivery service to over 1,088 cities across California. Everything, one quick stop. Flower, edibles, concentrate, topicals, vapes, and more. Sign up and use the code ROASTED for $10 off. Orders over $100 or more at speedweed.com. It's good.
Big fan of the speedweed.
I am.
I am too. I think they're great. I think it's brilliant.
It is brilliant, right? Because a lot of times, just the most annoying thing about getting high is having to go to the dispensary.
And sometimes you're at somewhere that's not your house, so you don't know who's got the good stuff around you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now you got to go and you got to re-sign up and go through all that, and then they have shit in there. Forget it. Speedweed, they're going to deliver the good shit.
It's so funny also. So sometimes like in California, like when I go on the road, people are like, hey man, smoke this stuff. And I never want to smoke. I don't know about you, but I don't like smoking people that I don't know, especially like
if, oh yeah, absolutely,
if I'm in some weird town or
totally.
Something
I tried that once and I wound up smoking crack, so do not smoke strangers weed.
You smoke crack?
Yes, we were behind this bar and we're smoking a joint. It's just going around, you know, and this guy shows up and holds up what looks like a joint. He's like, hey guys, can we join in? And you know, weed's a very communal type drug. It's not a judgy drug, although this experience did make me very judgy. Because they go, yeah, join in. And I thought someone in the group knew him, but nobody knew him as it turned out. So we finish our joint that he lights his. I'm just going around. I'm like, hey, is this got tobacco? And he's like, yeah, a little tobacco. So I'm like, all right, it's kind of a spliff. Okay. And I'm like, why does it smell like burning plastic? He goes, oh, because it's got crack in it.
Oh, Jesus. So then what did you do?
I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I lost my mind. I shoved him to the ground. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You don't just fucking give people crack. Are you out of your fucking mind? So I'm losing my shit. My other friends are now losing their shit. They're like, you know, they're trying to drag me out of the situation because we're creating a scene now and we're smoking crack. And it's like, it's like everything was bad. So they're trying to drag me away from this person. I'm like, you motherfucker. But now my head just goes, bang. And I mean, it just like split in like three different directions. I was like, ah, ah. And then of course I was brilliant. I tried to drive. I tried to drive. I don't know. We wound up pulled over I think I drove maybe a foot and a half and I was like, I can't drive. So then we got out of the car. We had to, you know, get a cat. It was fucking horrible. I wanted to kill this motherfucker. So be careful when out there smoking strangers weed.
When I was in New York, living in New York, there was this like, I don't know, stripper that I picked up sometime. And like, she's like, oh, I want to get high. She's like, North Carolina. And the worst is New York, because I think we went to like Central Park to buy weed or something.
Yeah.
Or like,
it was from the Jamaican.
That was like down now on like 14th Street. Remember back then? You walk around, everyone's like, yo, smoke. Basically, someone had a joke. They thought that it was the tobacco company sending people out to get you to...
Just tell them to smoke. Yeah, smoke.
So this girl, me and this girl started smoking, and we were like going to hook up. And next thing I know, I was like... You know, you could tell by the way it's not weed, the way it burns.
Yeah.
Like, it just burns a different way.
Yeah.
And I remember watching myself hook up with her. And then judging myself, going, I'm not very good at this. This is awful. Yeah, so that
one
was...
time I bought weed in Washington Square Park.
Yeah.
Only it turned out to be just a bundle of paper towels.
That's...
wad of paper towel, of paper... And not even quality paper towel.
That's what
not
they
like all... quilted, you know... It was just like...
The stuff that Donald Trump shot to the Puerto Rican.
No, not those... That wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Not bad. Not
good
bad.
Joke. Good joke. Solid joke.
I'm telling you, that was a good joke.
Not bad. That landed as a joke.
Yes.
Good work.
That wasn't bad.
Was it Brawny? Was there a man on it with a beard?
No, there wasn't.
Was it Quilted Northern? I like Quilted Northern.
But that's the thing about also legalizing marijuana is that you're also taking away all those things.
Nothing cleans up blood.
You're also taking away
Quilted Northern.
All those people buying fake shit. Like when you legalize marijuana, all those people that are buying crack by accident or oregano.
I was trying to be communal.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But yes, it will eliminate all those things.
100%.
Although you gotta know, it's pissing off everyone that's in jail for weed crimes. Like, it's all like, hey guys, it's legal. Like, motherfucker.
I know a comic.
Then why am I still sitting here?
My friend did a comic at a year and a half in jail.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
For weed.
For selling weed.
It's like that line in Half Baked. 10 years just for weed?
All right, you.
Okay, back to CBE. Back to CB.
That wasn't trying to be a joke. CB, that was like
bullshit. That was trying.
No, it wasn't. It was just. It was the line from the movie.
You were trying to get a laugh.
No, I was CB good on the first
the
one.
CB Goat.
Here's that's CB actually not bad. You know how, the comedy cooler. Yeah. That's pretty good. I like that.
You know, it's not really what you want.
You know how like at like the burlesque shows, they have a comic come on.
Yeah.
Who like basically they have these hot chicks go on. They put right. a comic.
And the
at,
comic
like,
comes in and ruins the show.
The comic comes on to like get everyone's boner down. Like you're like the opposite. Does comic? You get the comedy down. Comedy
no, I should be between somebody like I should be after somebody that kills to try and bring them down a little bit, and then somebody can go on and kill again.
That is actually perfect. We do that a lot actually.
Well, as a host.
So, yeah, as a host, a lot of times you'll go in there and you'll simmer it down. You just got to slow it down, let that energy sit. The worst is when you have a host that doesn't realize that and they're just like, all right, next guy. I'm like, hey, motherfucker.
No, you have to do, especially if a guy kills on crowd work.
Yeah.
A guy does crowd work and destroys.
Yeah, because then they don't want any material.
Yeah.
You know, there's almost, so you got to settle that down. And it helps if the other guy does a joke because it's not going to do well, but at least get their ear back in the realm of listening to jokes as opposed to just talk about us, you know, which I still love to do.
There's a comic I know who's in comedy. Like 30 years, a big comic, and he used to host at the Ha Ha, and it was the biggest bullshit move. He would go up there, do 30 seconds, bring up the first comic. The comic would then do 15 minutes and like struggle.
Basically, do the opener's job.
Do the host job.
The host job.
And then he would go on to do 20 minutes after the first comic. I'm like, that's not fucking
that's
hosting.
That's cheating like a motherfucker. That is not hosting.
I did respect the hustle, but I'm like, that's not hosting.
I'll host it for you. Let me just do the announcements, bring up the first guy, then I'll do 20.
Yeah, that's fucking.
That's literally going second on the show.
So, Greg, anyway, I've been reading about you, man. I know me and Greg had a little bit of a falling out that was over some bullshit a long time ago.
Yes, that was a while.
That was water under the bridge. Since then, we're back to best friends again.
Yes.
You came to my wedding.
What a great time. What a great wedding. So great. Remember that? Remember that, CB?
Yeah, I was at home playing VR video games and masturbating into my mouth.
Is that what you were doing, CB?
That's what I was doing. And I didn't mean to actually masturbate in my mouth. I was just laying down at the time, and it just kind of went into my mouth.
Now, CB, you said you were coming to a wedding up until the day of, and then you said you were sick. Now, were you really sick?
Yes, sperm poisoning.
How did you get sperm poisoning?
I shot my load in my mouth. I got to tell you that virtual reality is fucking real.
So you were playing VR, you shot a load into your mouth, and you got poisoned.
And I kept thinking, whose fucking load was that? And then I swallowed it, and it turned out to be mine.
Wow. Okay. Now, you told me you were going to get me a gift, and now I have not got the gift yet. What were you planning on getting me?
Not AIDS. That was the gift I was going to give you because, of course, we all know I have AIDS. It's in remission. I'm doing pretty good. I'm on the cocktail, and that's when I was like, I'm just going to not go and not give him AIDS. That's my gift.
But that's a good gift because I don't want AIDS. So I didn't know that was
so,
my gift. So that's,
Mazel tov.
Thank you, CB. I appreciate not getting AIDS. So good. I'm happy for you. Now, Greg, you booked a TV show on Amazon.
Yes, I did. It's for Amazon. It's a new Greg Daniels project. I mean, I don't know how much you could talk about it. We've done this a long time, and we've had a lot of big swings of the plate, and you never know what's going to actually turn into a show. The more you think like, oh, this is going to be a show, it ain't going to be a fucking show. And the more you're like, this is so fucking stupid, I guarantee you that's the project that's going to work. So, but you know, at the same time, I don't believe in jinxing anything. I believe in expressing what I really feel. And I feel like of anything I've ever done, this has the best shot of becoming a real project.
I honestly thought the Paris Hilton thing was going to be big.
God, fuck yourself.
I
fuck
swear.
Yourself.
What, the movie?
Yeah, he was in the movie. The
four
Hottie
people?
No, I swear.
19 people went to see this.
Doesn't matter. When you
full price?
I'm not even kidding.
Eight of them were with me.
I'm not, when you're the third lead in a movie with the girl who's the biggest star.
At that point, she was the largest personality in America. That's
I was
true.
Like, at least it's going to be a cult classic. People are going to come. But I was telling someone yesterday, this guy, Nemer, actually.
Yeah. He was a funny guy.
Funny guy, nice guy. And I was like, dude, I remember last year at this time, I booked the show on Oxygen with me, D-Ray, Michael Blackson, I'm the only white comic on it.
Yeah.
And I'm on 6 episodes. It only had out of 8 episodes. And I'm like, this is it. That night, I go jogging because I'm like, oh, I'm feeling good. And I go to the comedy club. And people are like, oh, I saw you tonight. I'm like, oh, on TV? No, jogging. I got 6 people saw me on Laurel Canyon jogging.
Yes.
I'm like, and not one person saw me on Oxygen. Maybe, do you?
Ainsley McCoff over here is... you okay, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, man, I should just jog. I should just jog all the time. Maybe I'll have a career. Because more people will be jogging than on this fucking show.
That's right.
It was unbelievable.
No, I'm curious. Like you said, you think it's going to be, you sometimes think, like, you get a hit show and you're like, this is going to be amazing. Are producers and the people that, like, have the end decision of whether it's going to make it or not, are they just completely opposite minded?
Nobody.
Like, you bring in.
None of the producers.
You know what it is? It's a lot of decision by committee. You know, instead of one person with vision making the choice, there's a lot of people like weighing in on it, and you wind up with what is a compromised decision. And that ends up killing things that have vision and pushing forward things that are rather in the middle. And so that's what makes it hard to predict.
And most of those people don't care. Like most of the
producers, that's what I wanted
most
to
of the
know.
Producers and writers and everything, they go from project to project to project. They're done with it. They do like a week on it. What's the next thing? But as actors or comedians, or sometimes even the guy who created it, it's like our baby. But they're like on to the next thing. The show that I sold, the network folded, Esquire, and I ran into Greg Fitzsimmons, who wrote on it. I'm like, man, I can't believe the network folded. He's like, it did? This is 8 months ago. He didn't even know it folded.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, he wrote on it.
Yeah.
He's done. Next. Yeah. You know, that's how most people are.
That's
but to me, it was like 13 years of hard fucking labor. Yeah. Oh, God. So anyway, so I got to give a rest in peace. So last podcast, I talk about this girl that I was friends with, an adult film star.
Oh, that's right. That she had just been at your show?
Came to the show Tuesday, died.
So your comedy killed her.
I killed that night.
Your comedy pushed her over the edge.
I was the rock bottom. No, I don't think it was my comedy show.
I don't know. It doesn't feel coincidental. I feel like she was like... That's it.
She was like, there's no hope.
There's nothing funny left.
She had so much fun at this comedy show.
No, I know. I actually, in all seriousness, I saw that and I was like, I really felt that's a tragic thing. And it's so strange that you would get to see her so.
She was so happy. I think what happened was, I guess, she backed out of a porn set because there was a guy who did gay porn
on the thing.
And she goes, I don't want to do it because I don't work with guys who've done gay porn. And then the social justice warriors started attacking her. And I'm sure there was a lot more than just this.
Sure.
But she got completely, and all these porn stars were saying, Bob, like, you're being homophobic and transphobic. And I mean, it's her fucking, I mean, this is what these, now this, I mean, have they run out of causes, some of these people? Now we're about making straight porn stars do porn with guys who've done gay porn. I mean, like, what the hell are we talking about? I understand their point, but who gives a fuck who she does porn with?
This brings us to what I think is what's really going on right now. And I think we're tearing each other apart. We're tearing each other apart. Why? Because we can't get to the one guy we really want.
Is this Trump?
Yeah.
But this was going on before Trump.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, social justice warriors were attacking
this
people.
This whole really tearing down everybody... You know, and don't get me wrong, a bunch of these people deserved it. This is actually a great thing that a lot of these true predators have been exposed. But when you talk about a situation like this,
yeah,
where you just disagree with her choice.
Yeah, of who she fucks.
That is her choice as a person and as a professional. And I don't understand where what you would choose. And this is what I'm talking about. We need to go back to accepting each other.
Yeah.
We have decided that if you don't believe what I believe, you're a fucking animal. And they're, you know, now, sexual predators, those are animals. Yes, put them down. Okay, but someone that just doesn't agree with you is not wrong.
Yeah.
And we have lost sight of our ability to accept one another. Why? Because of him.
No, it's not because of him.
It is because of him, goddammit.
This was going on during Obama. There were plenty of social justice warriors.
What it's become now, this actual tearing each other apart, this is because of him.
I was going to ask you about that, the whole sexual assault. Like, some of these things, obviously, like the Harvey Weinsteins, the Roy Moores, the people that are accused of rape by 10 different people or whatever, obviously. But then there's, like, we're lumping them all into the same category, which is, like, fucking ridiculous. And I'm working on like a bit about how just how men are just gross in general. Because, like, okay, let's say Louis C.K. was going up to women and saying, hey, is it okay if I masturbate in front of you? Which he was asking.
Yeah.
And some people were not saying no. They were just like, well, and then he would start jerking off, right? My bit was just shows you how gross men are. Because if Roseanne Barr was like, Adam, is it okay if I masturbate in front of you? I'd probably be like, that's what you want to do. As long as I don't have to join.
Do I have to watch?
Are you kidding? I mean, I'd be like, wait a minute. Can I masturbate in front of you? Like,
do you want a pillow? Can I take notes? There's where it is. Yeah. That's what I've been doing wrong.
Sure, go for it.
But then, of course, and then like even like the Al Franken thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Al Franken of like.
Before he was in public service, he was a comedian on tour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
And I'm not saying what he did was right, but if I was sleeping and a girl took a picture of her grabbing my cock and then sent it to me, I probably would post it.
Here's the thing. You know, I know a guy, a comedian, who was working on the new Mad TV, and one of the former female cast members came back, and on the set during the rehearsal, he was standing in for someone else, okay? And she took him and shoved her tongue down his throat. Not in the script, wasn't in the directions, wasn't part of the scene. The director didn't say, do it, okay? She just did it. And then he was all taken. He's like, what the fuck just happened? And then she did it again. And then she did it a third time. And he has a picture of this. Now, he hasn't put it out there. He doesn't want to get tangled up in all this mess. But it's like...
That's not right. No, what they did was not right. I'm just saying that there's degrees.
But I mean, if he released it... What would the reaction be? Would everyone take this woman down?
Probably.
I think you're probably right. I think they probably would.
Was she cute? Because people probably wouldn't believe that she said that like she forced himself on him. It really all depends.
She wasn't not cute.
Huh. I don't know. It's just the whole thing is just like it is crazy.
Yeah, and I offer that up as a paradox. That's all. Like, I mean, what would happen in the reverse then? I mean, we have an evidenced situation. There's a photo that somebody took of it because they couldn't believe it was happening.
I'll tell you what I don't like. What I don't like is like everyone is entitled to due process, right? You get charged with something, accused of something, it should go to court or you should get. But now it's like anonymous calls are calling in and being like, this guy tried to do that, and oh, he's done. And you're like, what the? What? Can't we just at least? There has to be proof. You can't just accuse someone. People, because sometimes people are fucking batshit crazy, and they do make up lies. Not all the time, but you can't just someone gets accused.
Did you see the Dustin Hoffman one?
Yeah.
My problem with that one was she was like, yeah, it happened so long ago. I was totally uncomfortable. But then he was super nice to me, and he was apologetic, and he was so great to me. By the way, I have this book available that I just released. And I was like, oh, come on. And that's not the book.
And that's the problem is that those type of things are ruining it for people that actually are legitimately got assaulted and raped and this and that.
Agreed. But I feel like we've gotten to the point where we're trying to tear down anyone who just doesn't agree with us. That we can't do. We need to learn to accept our differences again. You know?
Yeah.
And social warriors are part of that. Like, just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I'm wrong. And doesn't mean you're wrong. We need to learn to accept our differences. We need to start learning to agree to disagree again.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I am obviously, I'm for gay marriage, but I understand if people in their whatever religion aren't, that's their point of choice.
And we have, see, that's the thing, like middle America has to stop dreaming that we'll ever be like them, and we have to start dreaming that they'll ever be like us.
It's not just middle America. There are plenty of people.
But you know what I'm saying. I'm generalizing there to say the difference between, you know, the red and the blue.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we still need to be one culture and one. And I've always said our differences are what make us great. That's what keep us from being awful, you know, is having this incredible diversity. You know, but we have to accept that, like, okay, let's do one second. Maybe people are going to hate me for this. But the whole Southern, you know, the Confederate statues thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, listen, you don't live there. And that's your choice. You don't have to live in a place that admires that kind of culture.
Yeah, but not everyone admires that culture. Plenty of black people do not want to see.
Right. But at the same time, I mean, if that city, if all those people want it there, I mean, you don't have to live there. You can leave. Or you can accept that about where you live. I live in a town that, unfortunately, still loves this shit. I mean, do we have the right to tell them no? Or just, I feel like we just be like, hey, man, it's your town. You do your thing.
I think it's a little different with the statues because those were put up after slavery, too. And just to kind of, I don't, it was a whole fucking
thing.
Again,
you know, I mean, They feel that way about gay couples, you know, just walking around, you know, gay marriage being legal. They feel the same way, but they need to learn to accept that, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I...
See? Yes, it's so easy when it goes our way. When it goes our way, it's like, yes, of course. But when it doesn't go our way, see, that's what I'm saying.
But if I put up a statue of some dude blowing somebody and put it right in front of somebody, somebody's thing, and every day they have to walk by and see a fucking guy get sucking a cock when they walk outside.
If the name of your town is Blowjob Dude, you know, then maybe you should accept that. Blowjob Dude Town.
CB, is that where you're from?
I actually was born just next to that in Nutsack Falls.
You're born from Nutsack Falls?
I grew up in Nutsack. I was born and raised in Nutsack Falls.
By the way, since you've been gone, CB Gold is now the owner of a tattoo parlor.
Oh, you did actually buy a tattoo parlor.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. I moved in and I just stayed there until they were evicted.
Is that what happened? The whole squatter's law? Is that?
That's right, the squatter's law.
Didn't we establish this like 6 months ago?
Yeah, we
did. That's how I do business. Squatter's law.
That's right.
We did.
That's actually how I got my girlfriend.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, she was parking her car and I just got in.
Really?
Yes. She thought I was valet and then I just never left.
And it worked.
Yes.
See, sometimes stalking works.
She started to feed me, and eventually we got to know each other.
And she's in love.
And now she loves me. That's right.
That's cool. Nice.
I mean, in her way. She loves me.
Do you still live with your parents or no?
Yeah, of course. I don't. I'm incapable of existing without support.
That's well. I mean, you're making money in the tattoo parlor, right?
Now I am. Yeah.
And where does that money go to?
Bitcoin.
Meanwhile, Bitcoin, people are fucking killing on that Bitcoin.
Oh, dude, do you think that's not going to pop? That's a bubble that's going to burst.
People have said that $200 has gotten them like 15,000 so far.
Well, we'll see if it stays. They better cash out while they can.
It's like a trendy thing when the websites became a thing, like e-toys and stuff. Yeah, like they went under.
I don't even understand it.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't even exist. It's a fake currency.
Yeah, isn't it not real money?
It and it's gone. I mean, it's... Yes, it's a weird, which doesn't mean it won't at one time be what we actually use. I mean, at some point it may just be all this digital currency. That actually would make sense if that's where we're going. But at the same time, I mean, if you think this land rush is going to last, you're fucking cuckoo. We've seen this a million times.
Well, I've heard from people that they can't cash out of it. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's
true.
Well,
it's very hard to cash out Bitcoin.
Right. Why?
You have to I read a whole article about it. You have to go someplace that... Because I guess like a lot, if you try and convert it into cash, a lot of times it turns into money laundering.
I don't know. I just know all the people are like, dude, I'm a fucking millionaire now because of Bitcoin. I'm like, really? Fuck.
And what can you spend it on?
Hey, listen, I remember when they'd be like, oh, I launched a website and I got $1 million of investment money. And then fucking they went right through it and it was all over.
Yeah. It's funny. When I was in high school, like all the kids were like, first, they were all making money like on dealing drugs, right? Yeah. And then they went to like stock market. They all became stockbrokers. Then they became real estate agents. And they just kept going to like whatever the hot thing was. And half of them ended up in jail. All these like crazy. I'm trying to contact Mitch Clark. It's not working right now. So Mitch, hold on, hold still. Now, okay, word on the street now is that McGregor is going to fight Pacquiao.
In April.
We have to stop with this shit. This is enough. Enough is enough.
I mean, say that, but the problem is it's going to work.
I'm going to buy it.
It's another $200-300 million fight.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I know, but it's just like he's going to lose to Pacquiao. Yes, he's gonna lose to Pac. Come on, man. You don't think he's gonna
Pacquiao's
lose
to like 47 years old.
Doesn't matter. Any version of Pacquiao is going to any version of Manny Pacquiao is going to beat Conor McGregor.
So how does this work?
Hello,
Mitch Clark.
Hello. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, the Greg Wilson, CB Gold. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
We're doing good, man. Doing good. So since I last saw you on TV, you had that war in Edmonton, by the way, which was an amazing war. I've never seen anyone lose a fight and have more people. You were like the real life Rocky. It really was like Rocky won, or even though Rocky lost, he really won. So congratulations, man. That was a war.
Thanks, man. For me, it's always been just a go out there and try my best, you know, leave it all out there. And that was, you know, things didn't happen the way I want to and ate a headbutt and cracked my orbital, but that wasn't going to stop me from trying.
Now, it seems like your last fight, you broke your knee, right?
Yeah. Tore my PCL and MCL and meniscus.
And then this fight, you lose your orbital. I mean, what's going on? Are you just like what's going on here?
I'm just an old man trapped in this 31-year-old body.
Oh, it doesn't matter, man. You're a fucking hero. Now, how are you feeling going into the fight?
I felt great. You know, I had a great weight cut. I had, you know, a great training partner down at Jackson Wink, you know, and everything seemed to be kind of on point. And that first round, I felt really good. You know, I felt I won the round. And then second round, it was time to change it up and take him down. And we collided heads. And then it just kind of slowly started getting away from me. And, you know, it sucks, but it happens. We're not building sandcastles out there, so...
Boy, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that was a very tough fight, though. It was a real Alex White is no joke. Now since then you retired and you went back to college, and then every day I follow your tweets and you heckle people in your class. You heckle your teachers. Has anybody caught on to this?
Well, my wrestling coach follows me on Twitter, so I have to be careful what I say about him. So he's also my pack wrestling instructor. So I make sure I don't, you know, talk too much trash about him during those classes.
Right. Do people know you in college? Are they like, hey, that guy was in the UFC. Are you famous in college?
No, not a single person. So nothing's really changed.
All right, sounds fun. Now you join the wrestling. And like in America, once you do a pro sport, you can't go back and join the college team. I guess it's different in Canada?
Yeah, we have different rules for eligibility. You know, there's no age cap, and there's I'm trying to think of what the rules would have been from it to affect my eligibility, but I still had eligibility left from the first time I wrestled, so I talked to the athletic director and the coach, and they were happy to have me on, and you know, so far it's been going pretty well.
Now, is it weird being 31 wrestling 18-year-olds? Like, do you have man strength, or is it hard to keep up?
Oh no, actually, like that's the biggest thing I have on my side is old man strength because I'm not very explosive anymore. So I just use a lot of the old man strength and the hatred I have deep in my heart when I wrestle. It makes a big difference.
What's your record so far?
I only did the one tournament. I had to take time off because of my smashed up face. But I did the Husky Open 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, and I took third up at 82 kilos, so about 180 pounds I wrestled at. So everyone was much, much bigger than me.
Thank you for converting that
well,
for us.
All finishes, so two pins and a tech. So I was pretty happy with how I did.
Now, are you back? I know before you did, you were thinking about doing pro wrestling. Are you going to do that again?
Yeah, I'm probably going to make my pro wrestling debut in January if our commission doesn't put a moratorium on all combat sports here.
Yeah, I heard that since the death of Tim Haig. But would pro wrestling be a combat sport? Because it's fake.
I know exactly what I've been thinking, but they put a moratorium on all combat sports and issuing new licenses. So I don't know what's going to happen with pro wrestling here. I know that there's a chance the WWE might not come here now because of that. So they have to get that under control or else, you know, we're going to miss out on a lot of good sports being in Edmonton.
Oh, God. Now, what's your wrestling name going to be?
I think that they're just going with just my normal name and use the fighting thing to start off with. I just slowly like to transition to a variation of Macho Man Randy Savage.
What's your gimmick gonna be?
Oh, well, they're using the whole, they call it a shooter angle, the fact that I'm a real fighter and that kind of thing, but I'd rather just be like more high flying stuff or do what I can for high flying stuff. I think that's more fun, more cool.
Absolutely. Now you're in college. Now what school are you going to?
The University of Alberta.
Now, are you single?
No, I'm not. I'm actually in a happy relationship with my significant other. Her name's Sarah. She's super nice. I like her.
She's and sitting right next to me.
She puts up with me. She puts up with me being a total cards. Idiot. So
where did you meet her?
In all honesty, we met on a dating app, and it just turned out really well. Nice. I usually tell people, because she used to be my wrestling coach, my old wrestling coach's boss, that's where we met. But my wrestling coach didn't like that story too much because it made him. Because I'd say I was his boss now.
How old is she?
30.
Oh, nice. There you go. You always have hot chicks, dude. I mean, I'm sure this one's the best. But one thing you don't lack for a guy who looks like you, you do very well. Now the word is that McGregor is going to fight Pacquiao. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't like what. Why can't boxers fight boxers and MMA fighters fight MMA? You know, like, I don't see why someone who's past their prime fights a guy with one pro boxing fight. Like, where's, I don't understand. I love, it draws away from stuff like the Rigondeaux Lomachenko fight tonight. You know, away from the Golovkin Canelo fight. You know, I like boxing for boxing. I want to watch boxers fight boxers. I'm going to watch the best boxers fight the best boxers. And the best MMA guys fight the best MMA guys.
Well, it's funny you say that, because actually McGregor is actually on the line right now. McGregor?
What's the matter with me fighting Pacquiao when you're going to put on a wee little girly leotard and jump around calling yourself a savage?
Mitch?
Dear, that made me feel so uncomfortable.
Of course you are, because you're giving up on the real fighting.
Now, what do you think about Mitch Clark, Conor McGregor?
Mitch Clark's a tough man. I like him a lot. It's too bad he isn't more intelligent.
What do you mean by that?
He's an idiot. That's what I'm telling you. The man has the brains of a baked potato.
Wow, a baked potato.
And I love potatoes.
Now, Conor, recently there was a thing about you being on a date with who? What was that girl's name?
Rita Ora.
With Rita Ora. She said date night with you. You have a kid at home with a baby mama. Are you banging Rita Ora?
Rita Ora. I don't even remember Rita Ora. I bang so much that they're going to have to start calling sex doing the Conor McGregor.
Wow.
That's right. I McGregored the fuck out of her.
You McGregored the fuck out of her?
Out of all of them. You don't even know it. I fucked you twice since I've been here.
Well, damn. Now, I also heard
CB
that
Gold is on my junk right now.
Well, CB, get to work. Now,
That's right, CB. Do a nice job, boy.
It's like ginger snaps down here.
That's right. Snap your tongue on him, you wee little AIDS boy.
No, Conor, I also heard that you pissed off the Irish mob. There's a word that, like, you knocked out an Irish mob boss and that they're after you and there's a bounty on your head.
I don't know. I stay in the plane. I never get off.
Oh, all right. Mitch, what do you think about that?
What do I think about that?
About Conor knocking out the head of the Irish mob or something.
I don't know. In all honesty, the toughest people I've ever met have usually been Irish, so I'd stay away from it.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, what the fuck? Is he unraveling and becoming? Is this going to be John Jones 2.0? Where, I mean, first he jumps into the cage during a Bellator fight and smacks the ref because his friend won. Then he pisses off the Irish mob and there's a bounty on his head. Now he's fucking Rita Ora and she's tweeting about it. And now he's talking about finding Pacquiao. I mean, he won the belt at 45, won the belt at 55, has defended it none times. What's going on, Mitch?
Well, you got to think he's been able to do whatever he wants. You know, he's got no leash on him. He does whatever he wants. So basically, he's trying to push the envelope as much as he can, see what he can get away with, in my opinion.
What's next, Conor? What do you plan on doing?
I'm going to fight the stewardess.
What stewardess?
The one on my plane.
You're going to fight the stewardess?
I'm going to fight her, goddammit. I told her to load up on potatoes.
Got it.
Now, Mitch, do you miss fighting or what?
One of my coaches from Jackson just sent me a text. He's like, do you miss it? And in all honesty, I don't. You know, I think, but also part of it is I'm so busy right now. I wrestle 5 to 6 days a week. I do pro wrestling. I still do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I try and do my homework in school sometimes, but you know, I'm just so busy and I don't have time to really miss it. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. I thought about going back to college, get my degree, because I have 1 year left, but I do not want to write papers. Yeah. Do you have to do a lot of papers?
Oh yeah, like I just got done, just got a paperback, and it was like 6 to 8 pages, and I did pretty much 9, and I got told it was too long and got docked marks for it. So it's like, what the hell is going on? Fuck. So I did too much work.
I don't even know how to write a paper. I don't even know how to write anymore. I don't even know how to write a paper anymore. Like, going back to college, you ever, like, my handwriting is like a second grade
Here's
handwriting.
The thing, though, man. It's been a while.
Yeah.
College has changed.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of it you just do on your iPad and whatever. And it's just, it's not nearly, I think, what you think it was.
And there's a bunch of plagiarism websites where you can just download free papers. And
that's true.
I know. Have you done any of that or no?
Have I used a plagiarism website? No, not yet. What are these websites?
Just go to I Study For You, but that's with the number 4, the number 4, and then the letter U.org.
By the way, I got to say, when my mom passed away and when I was hurt, I was actually hurt. Mitch texted me every day.
Oh, wow.
Every day.
Wow.
To see how I was feeling. I honestly, this dude is beyond a cool guy. Mitch, you have no idea. Even when I was like at my darkest, your text really cheered me up, man. I can't thank you enough.
But what about me?
I
left a dead kitten on your doorstep. I went out, I caught a kitten, I killed it for you, I sacrificed, I drank its blood for you.
Thank you, CB. That was very nice of you to do as well. Thank you very much. So, Mitch, how long have you been with Sarah for?
just over a year. You know, we're, in all honesty, we're right about to go get some Christmas photos done, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Oh wait, I'm not supposed to say that.
What did he say?
He's not supposed to tell us that they're going to get Christmas photos done.
Oh, that's so gay. I mean.
Are you wearing a sweater made out of the skin of other people?
No. Is that what you do?
I can send you one.
Oh, well, thank you.
What's your size?
That's great. By the way, Mitch's dad, by the way, is so every day he posts a picture of how proud he is of Mitch, and he's this like burly man. Like him and Mitch are both like they're like almost like they live out in the woods. They have these big beards. Yeah, and they're just such nice people. Such nice people. You have a very nice family. Is your dad still married to that 21-year-old?
Yeah, let's go with yeah, she's 21. My whole family's great people. I don't know why I'm such a surly old bastard, you know?
it's because you're Canadian. We did this thing where I was like, I interviewed him, and I'm like, hey, you think you'd beat Conor McGregor? He's like, hell no. Because that guy's great. And then I was going up a list of people.
You gotta like our guy who's a realist.
Oh, man, he really, I was like, so Mitch, do you think you'd beat this person? He's like, nah, probably not. I'm like, this is not the best way to sell yourself, dude.
Jeez.
It's like, it reminded me of like, remember Raven? Remember, obviously, the wrestler Raven?
Yeah, of course.
He was like, he was the funniest because he was a depressed wrestler. He was like gothic. And during the match, he would go in the corner and be like, what about me? What about Raven? And start fucking crying while his tag team partners were getting the shit beaten out of him. He was feeling bad for himself in the corner.
Hysterical.
Yeah, like, have you seen him recently?
No.
He looks like Walking Death.
Oh, really? But he was great, man. That was a good angle.
Oh, it was a hell of a good gimmick.
And I know what Walking Death looks like. I have a mirror.
CB is looking better. He lost 30 pounds.
CB, you do look good, man. CB, you look
how did you lose 30 pounds, by the way?
You put in highlights?
Well, I bleached my hair and then shaved it into a mohawk.
Oh. Came out great.
No, CB, how did you lose 30 pounds?
Yeah, tell me.
Pretty much starving myself until dinner every day.
Oh, and then your parents rang the bell and you ran downstairs and had dinner?
There's no bell.
Oh,
a little ding, 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 ding.
Nice. So Mitch,
I heard the ham horn.
That's right. Oh my god.
So Mitch, how much school do you have left?
I got another 2.5 years.
Mm. All right. So you're making money.
It's transitioned to something else. You know, the biggest thing is me trying to be able to deal with, you know, the millennials and the next generation and not then how they can't be offended. So I don't really do well with those people, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so weird. Millennials are just, it's like that they're killing comedy. I mean,
do you spend most of the day wanting to put them in a suplex?
Yeah, every day, every day.
Your move should be the millennial smasher.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? Yeah, that should be your gimmick. You should have millennials come to protest every fight, and then you beat the shit out of these millennials. Like, you rip off some guy's man bun, you know, you fucking, oh, it'd be brilliant.
You say certain words.
You tug them by the beard and shit and swing them around. Oh, man.
Yeah, like your last move should be the safe spacer. The safe spacer. Yeah. You go around giving them
safe space by like jumping in the air and kicking them in the chest.
It's amazing. I mean, the only good thing about millennials is that they get offended by everything. So I feel like people now are running to comedy clubs to hear shit again. Because you can't hear anything anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Although we can't say anything anymore. Everyone's all afraid.
Oh, because everyone has their fucking phone out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
And again, this brings me back to, we have to go back to just accepting each other. Accepting that people are going to say some shit, and whether you agree with it or not, that doesn't mean it's wrong.
And some cultures are different than others. That's what makes everything beautiful. Just because I say black people, blah, 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 white people, blah, Asian people, blah, blah, blah.
Make you racist. And you're a comedian.
And it means you're observant.
Yes.
You're fucking observant. And you don't have to be Asian to make Asian jokes.
Probably white or black.
And you don't have to be Asian to make Asian jokes or black to be black. Oh, well, you're not black, so you can't make a joke about black. Who the fuck are you?
And despite all this, making fun of white is still okay.
Oh, yeah. Where's your toga and fucking rule maker? Oh, you're the rule maker?
I'm Mexican and black, so just know what side I'm on.
You're the comedy rule maker? Anyway, listen, Mitch, you're awesome, dude. Keep it up. Keep up the good work.
Go get those Christmas pictures.
Fucking love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too, man. If you need anything, always just don't be afraid to say anything.
All right, definitely will do, man. Thanks a lot, brother.
All right, take it easy.
Take care. All right, that was Mitch Clark.
Mitch Clark. Now, at the end of that, did it feel like he said, "Hey, man, let me know if you need somebody to get their ass kicked"? That's what I felt like.
The funniest part about it is, like, if you saw him coming, you'd be like, "There's no way this dude could kick my ass." And then he'll fuck you up.
He fucking submitted Ally Quinta.
From the bottom with a Dars.
You know, the thing about, I gotta tell you,
when you say what you're part of that, and that sounded pretty gay.
The thing about Mitch, though, is that he's...
From the bottom in a Dars.
He's one of those dudes that... he's one of those dudes that you'd love to have on your team in a fight, because that dude has no quit in him. I mean, you have to kill him to put him out.
It felt like that's what he was asking. That's what he was saying. Like, hey, let me know if you need somebody to shut up.
Yeah.
If I could put him out.
Well, last Wednesday I had a show in Fresno, and my wife's family came. There was like 20 people there in a room that held like 400. And of course, like, her aunt and uncle are there.
Oh, man.
Who are huge Trump supporters.
No,
they're beautiful people. But I'm like, and then her cousin.
Disclaimer, my wife listens to this.
But I was nervous. They never seen me do comedy.
Yeah.
You know? And then, but they were laughing at everything. And then Eric Anders came, by the way, who's fighting tonight in Fresno. This dude was an Alabama NCAA champion for football. Now he's 6-0 with 6 knockouts. Dude, a monster. He's a fucking monster.
And he's fighting tonight.
He's fighting tonight at UFC Fresno.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he came to the show, too. And I love his nickname, Your Boy.
Your boy. Hold on to my boy.
Your boy. Yeah. That's
your boy.
Yeah, I got to get it. I told him to give me a t-shirt, Your Boy. I got to get a Your Boy shirt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I was happy about that. It was one of those shows, though, like, sometimes, like, I like it. Like, you know, some comics, I see 4 people, 10 people. They sit on the stool and give a half-ass, what do you want to talk about, you know?
Right, yeah, you can't do that.
Me, I'm like, dude, these are the people that showed up.
Yeah.
Give them the best experience.
That's exactly right.
Well, I saw Chappelle in front of like 8 people. Me and my dad saw him, like, I don't know, 20 years ago. And we were crying laughing.
Yeah.
And I saw Chappelle in front of 500 people. I did not laugh one-tenth as hard.
Wow.
Certain comics can do really well in a small crowd and make it work. And I feel like I'm sometimes that way, because also if I don't feel like I'm getting a huge response, I try harder. And sometimes it could be funnier, you know, versus like other, you know, like you, a lot of times you tell a joke and rah, and you're like, oh, fuck, I could go on cruise control a little bit, or, you know, just do what I'm doing. It's working. So, by the way, the Dime Bar is great for that, because there's like 10, 15 people.
Oh, I love it.
I do Monday and Tuesday. By the Thursday show, I feel like I'm the funniest motherfucker, because it's like working out with weights on.
Yeah.
You're running with ankle weights. It makes it that much harder.
I can imagine.
But some comics, like last week, this fucking girl came on. I'm not going to say her name. But she goes on and she's sort of like giving people attitude, goes on stage and people are leaving. And she goes, oh, I stayed for your shitty jokes. You're not going to stay for mine. Oof. That was her opener, right? And to the point the bartender was like, you booked her. And the bartender never fucking says shit to me. Then she goes on and she brings
her... Who was it? Oh, you're not going to say her name, right?
She brings, yeah, she brings her notebook on stage.
Okay.
Not like a piece of paper with whatever you put on the stool and you kind of glance over.
Notebook,
or even your phone.
Full
think
notebook.
Maybe full-on fucking notebook.
Sure.
And looking through the pages.
Well, she's Gerard Carmichael.
I was like, I should have, I'm like, listen, I didn't tell you that you can't bring the notebook on, so it's not your fault, but please... Do not bring your notebook on stage. Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was that kind of room. Like, no, I'm never going to have a good room if the audience sees someone bringing their fucking notebook. If you're Damon Wayans or you're Jerry Seinfeld, bring your fucking notebook.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, I'm happy you're there.
Yeah.
But if you're some chick that's, like, barely featuring for anybody, don't bring your fucking notebook. What's wrong with these people?
And how fast did she get bumped?
She didn't get bumped. She just got, she fucking...
Did you cut her
set
short?
No, I got bumped for her set.
The reason... Greg, the reason I put
and
you
then,
on...
And then Donnell came in and he bumped me too. And
Greg,
then,
the reason I put you on after Donnell Rawlings, number one, he brought Chappelle the week before, okay? So I kind of was giving him... And plus it's Donnell. But also, I knew you can follow him.
No, it wasn't that. It was that you had bumped me earlier. If you just let me go up earlier when I got there...
I should have done that.
You bumped me for somebody else that you shouldn't have, and that's what I was mad about. Not Donnell. I love Donnell.
About Justine?
No, yes.
I thought you were mad about Donna.
No, I was mad about the other thing.
Whatever. Listen.
Because I'm like, dude, her? You're putting her up in front? I can't. Okay.
I should have put you on, but.
And then, of course, Donnell.
But the reason wasn't. Also, the reason was that you're one of like three comics in the country that I know that could kill after anybody.
Yes, but I wanted to work on new shit. I didn't want to have to try and, you know, oh man, let me fucking put on my tap dance shoes because I fucking got to follow Donnell.
We both could have dealt with that better.
You're right.
I did coke out of a girl's asshole.
Listen, coke's so good, you'll snort it off a toilet you wouldn't shit in.
That's hilarious.
I should put that on a t-shirt and sell it.
Yeah.
And on the back, sweet, sweet Struve.
Sweet, sweet Struve. Give that sweet, sweet Struve. We got to meet Struve one day. I want to do coke with Struve. Can we do Struve with Struve? Do you know?
By the way,
he's not fighting anymore.
You know, he came to my show. Speaking of coke, Judy Browning came to my show.
I know. I was like actually mildly disappointed I didn't show up that night. But like, where the hell did he surface from?
He lives out in LA now. And
does he live in the sewers?
No, he's trying to do well. He happens to be a pretty nice guy. I think if there was a... Maybe someone was bipolar. Maybe it'd be him. But he, talented guy, nice guy, reflective guy. Guy couldn't have
just
been nicer.
Didn't present himself well years ago.
You know, when you go on these reality shows,
try to get airtime.
People can be different than they actually are. You know, and then also like if you're all of a sudden on a reality show and you become the asshole, and then you're getting all the camera time.
Yeah.
Guess what? You know, you're going to be that asshole all the time. That's when I was on Last Comic Standing, they kicked me off 2 years in a row. So then in my third year, I was like, I'm going to be the asshole. And I'm like, I'm better than every comic here. And they put me right to the fucking top. And then I'm like, shit, now I'm going to be hated by everyone in the world. So I was nice. Every time they asked me a question in the house, they were like, so what do you think about, I mentioned like, I work with kids who have cancer. And I didn't think, I'm a wrestling coach. And then they, guess what? They stopped filming me after that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I kind of outsmarted them in a way.
I'd just like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this opportunity.
Right. But at the same time, anyway, you know what I saw actually? A documentary. I was at the Comedy Store a couple days ago. Stuttering John asked me to go to see the Sam Kinison documentary.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that.
It hasn't aired yet. It airs on Spike in like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, you remind me a lot of him actually. But he was next level. He was so deep. Funny, loud, crazy, cool.
Yeah.
But you talk about a guy who let shit get to his head. I didn't realize he had worked at the Comedy Store for 5 years as a door guy.
Yeah, he was a door guy.
She wouldn't put him up. And then she put him in Westwood. And then one day, Mitzi was getting slapped around by a comic in the parking lot. He went over, beat the shit out of the guy. Mitzi became the manager the next week.
And that's how you get ahead.
That kind of helped his whole career.
Listen, the ladder's different for everybody.
But talk about guy who, cocaine and all that, like, holy shit. I mean, some of his performances were like...
And this thing, I joke about cocaine a lot, so people think I do it all the time. And I almost never do coke anymore.
On Tuesdays.
But now, that being said, I am planning to do it tomorrow.
Didn't he like prank call?
Really? Why tomorrow?
A little tonight, maybe a little more.
Why?
Because it's a ha-ha Christmas party tomorrow.
Greg, you're not in shape. You're not in great shape.
How am I going to get there if I don't do
your body is not healthy.
That's the only exercise
your body,
I get.
Your body should not.
I'm kidding, man.
Don't do that shit. I if something happened to you, I'd be very upset.
I know.
Didn't he like
mostly you succeeding? But that would totally crush me.
Yeah. No. Listen, we have a mutual friend. I don't want to say his name, but I'm not going to forget it. Let's move on.
What?
He's just. I'm not
gonna what? He's doing well. He's succeeding.
No, I'll tell you later. All right. I can't tell you. That's enough. It's just between us. We would be the only ones to get
Is his name Ben?
No.
Oh, okay. Now, all right. So anyway, so let's talk about some fights. Last night, Invicta. You watching Invicta?
I did not. I was out for my girl's birthday with a bunch of her friends.
What did you get her?
What did I get her for her birthday?
Yeah.
I got her two pairs of earrings. I got her...
What were they made of?
Hilarious.
They're mostly made out of cat's bones.
well,
kitten bones, technically, because they're the most pliable.
Why did you get her earrings without a kitten bone, CB?
Because the young bone is so you can bend it very easily. It bends very easily into whatever shape you want. The older bones are hard to work with. I've tried all ages.
So you got her earrings? What else?
I got her earrings. She wanted to get like a facial treatment from my mom's facialist, so I got her a gift certificate for that.
Your mom's a facialist? Is that a real word?
My mom, I don't know if it's a real word, but she has somebody that comes over and,
yeah, I get it. And gives her a facial.
The in-home thing. So, I knew that where that was going.
You know what the problem was? You said they come over to your house. And you just said she goes to a spa.
But she does go to her house.
She goes to a spa.
My mom's lazy and Jewish and rich. She doesn't want to leave the fucking house.
Somebody's coming over, a facialist.
Somebody comes over and gives
her honey, I need you to go out for a few hours. My facialist is coming over.
My dad's never home.
What are you telling me for? I'm in Toledo. Jesus Christ.
Why is my dad in Ohio?
My dad's in Toledo.
Why is I got Jackie... the facialist coming over.
Why is his dad Jackie Mason? And but go on. All right.
And then I've already paid for, even though I don't have to, but I paid for her to get any tattoo she wants for her next appointment at my shop.
Was
and...
you working at a tattoo parlor?
What?
Why do you have to pay for that? You work there.
I still got to give money to the shop bank account and take care of the artists. I mean, it's mine, but, you know, the artists don't work for free, right. So I'm going to take care of them. And my mom also got her this makeup she wanted, and I also told her what her Christmas present is. So around Christmas, she's allowed to go.
So one of her birthday gifts was you telling her what her Christmas gift will be. This has got to be a good gift.
Yeah.
What is this?
But
what is this gift so good that telling her about it?
Not AIDS. Not giving her AIDs.
Is that?
Well, because she already knew, but I wasn't going to give it to her for her birthday, so it's like a Christmas present. It's $1,000 shopping spree.
Oh wow, that's pretty nice.
Okay.
Much better than my gift.
A $10 shopping spree second with 99 cents.
My gift cost me $200 to pay for his fucking plate at the wedding. I'm fucking negative $200 so far. I got negative $200 so far.
But that's nice. $1,000 shopping spree. Is she 11?
That's a lot of money for
taking her to Toys R Us. Yeah. Like, go wild.
No, I'm taking her to Topanga Mall, handing her $1,000 in cash, and going go shopping.
That's pretty good, man.
While I go shopping and buy myself a bunch of shit.
Right.
What are you gonna get?
Did
your father die?
No.
Oh, okay. A lot of cash flow.
Yeah.
And it's grandpa that has the money.
Oh, your mom's dad.
Yeah.
That's right.
The rest of my grandparents have passed. No, I saw him on Wednesday,
dude, those guys hold on forever. You know what? It's that firm grip on the money.
I mean, no. We had our family Hanukkah dinner because when Hanukkah comes, we're all going to be in separate places, and he gave us all our individual Hanukkah presents. And
so that mean 7 gifts or 1 gift for Hanukkah?
I get one from him. My family never really did like the 8 days, right, like a gift every day, because we're all a bunch of greedy Jews.
That makes sense.
So
you got 1 gift for Hanukkah.
I got 1 gift from my grandfather, and
was it $1,000 shopping spree?
$15,000.
But your grandfather gave $15,000 for Christmas?
Hanukkah? For Hanukkah. Yeah,
$15,000.
$15,000 to everybody.
Gift.
Everybody gets $15,000.
Everybody gets $15,000.
So, and then
and I haven't got a wedding gift yet.
That's when you were like,
trust me, it's coming.
So, wait a minute.
I swear.
That's when you were like, 15 grand.
No, and I'm also,
15 grand.
I'm also spending
$15,000 for Hanukkah. I'd never heard of that. That's insane.
Last year it was 14 grand, but the tax laws changed, so now it's 15.
What tax laws?
Thank you, Trump.
But the Hanukkah tax laws?
No, it's something about like gift tax. Like if you go over a certain amount, you have to pay for giving a gift.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck. I never got a $50,000 gift. I would never know. Have you?
No one ever just gave me $15,000.
My gifts to my friends are, I don't have to buy you a gift. You don't buy me a gift. Like we have like agreements. Like no one gets the gifts. That way we're all good.
I'll bring a bottle of Jack to your party. That's my gift.
My wife, she gets her family gifts. She's really into this. But then signs it for me. And they're opening it up. They're like, oh, thanks. You shouldn't have. I'm like, I didn't. I have no idea what the fuck is in that. Like,
at the last minute.
I'm just a better person than I am. What do you want me to do?
At the last minute, you're like, Brie, what do we get them?
It's embarrassing.
Just so I don't look stupid.
Like I knew what.
You're like, oh, I thought you'd love it.
I was like, what do we get them? Just enjoy.
You'd love it. You're like, good.
She buys gifts for my family members and tells me, oh, by the way, we got your dad this.
That's the beauty of marriage. She's like, all right. She's filling in the gaps.
She's thoughtful. Yeah.
She's like, listen, he's bad at this, so I'll be good at it. That's what you want.
She's like, Adam, when's Hanukkah? I'm like, I don't know. Well, first of all, it changes every year. Sometimes it's like in May. Sometimes it's like.
Sometimes it's around Christmas, and sometimes it starts.
Hanukkah is in May.
It's like the weirdest.
It doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, it does, right? It goes by the Jewish calendar.
It goes by the Hebrew calendar. Sometimes it's like the day after Thanksgiving, and then other times it doesn't start till almost Christmas, and nobody ever fucking knows.
When are you guys just going to give it up and be like, you know what? Maybe Jesus was the guy.
Because it's a happy Christmas Kwanzaa.
I don't know, man. It's crazy. By the way, so Tuesday, what are you doing Tuesday?
This Tuesday, working.
You working at 4 o'clock?
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
Probably why?
The Paul Revere Middle School wrestling team. We have our first match.
Oh, wow.
We're supposed to have it on Friday, but the fires. The kids got out like 4 days of school. But I'm so excited. They asked me this year, they have a new rule. They don't have to wear singlets anymore. They could wear like MMA stuff.
This is real Greco-Roman.
Quick style.
No, they asked me, do you want
to... That's some young...
No, they're wearing like shorts, like combat, like MMA shorts.
Oh, okay.
And like a rash guard.
Yeah.
And they asked me like, hey, do you want your kids to do singlets? I'm like, what fucking horrible coach would make their kids wear singlets?
If they didn't have to.
Yeah. People are worried about the fingers getting caught like in the shorts. I'm like, whatever. We'll worry about that when that happens. I guarantee half the coaches in America, probably a lot of them, are like, no, I had to wear a singlet to toughen kids up.
No, I would imagine that's probably true. They're like, no, real wrestlers wear singlets.
I'm like, fuck that. First of all, more kids are going to join the team. Yeah. They're going to come to matches and they're going to be like, oh shit, they get to wear that. So I'm very excited.
We look like a real badass now.
Yeah, unless we got our asses kicked.
Yeah, you look like an MMA guy instead of looking like, you're wearing a fucking romper.
Like you're hiding from Jared from Subway.
Does it have snaps in the crotch? Is it like a baby?
No.
Does it have a hole that you can shit through without taking it off?
Bip, bip. You know, and then you're like, oh, thank God, I had to go poop.
Well, it's coming from the same guy that has a timeout boner. Remember you said
boner timeout is the real thing.
Which, by the way,
yes.
Technically speaking, did you see the mid-fight finger bang between Felice Herrig and Courtney Casey?
Yes, I did.
Was
somebody
that
somebody tweeted it to me?
Was that the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in MMA?
It was a finger bang. It was a deep one.
Was it really?
Well, no, I was talking about when they were flipping each other off.
Oh, then who did I see? I saw somebody. Somebody tweeted.
Did you see? Are you thinking about Magana's tit that popped out?
No,
it was a nice nipple, by the way.
Because I saw one. I swear, someone tweeted me a fucking mid-fight finger bang, and I was like, "Oh, that's fucking in there."
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I rewinded it and fucking filmed that.
What, the finger bang or the nipple?
No, the nipple.
Magana got cut, by the way. She lost five in a row or six in a row.
Six in a row.
But still.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more.
Well, they'd say most girls
wear two tops and a bra, or like a bra and a top, so it doesn't happen.
But this, meanwhile, this
Magana decided differently.
Meanwhile, this kid on my wrestling team, right? So my athletic director was like, hey, we got a new kid on the team. He's from Russia, right? Dude's right off the boat. Like, I'm like, how much do you weigh? He's like, 62 kilograms. I'm like, great, perfect. Dude,
and then he goes, I must crush you.
He's a monster. He's a monster. His dad had him do, his dad was a national champion. His grandfather.
How much is 62 kilograms?
130 or something. 130.
Yeah, about
but
that.
But his dad has him doing kickboxing, Muay Thai, and jiu-jitsu, and now wrestling. Kid's a straight beast.
He's gonna be an ugly star, eh?
Yeah.
Is that why they moved here? They moved here
from he cornering Khabib at the end of the month?
He's from Chechnya, which I guess is like...
Chechnya?
Chechnya, which I guess they're saying is like... the place where it's like it's completely ISIS.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't it a giant war zone?
Province,
yeah,
I think is what they're saying.
So like maybe they left for like because of that.
Hey, listen, I would too. That's
but right. The kid's a super nice kid, right. just a sweetheart, and just a you know, think about these.
Well, he's happy to live in a place that's not gonna be blown up at any second. Jesus, that'd make me comfortable, make me nice too. Like, I am so happy to be here. The streets are. Quiet in the nighttime.
Well, John Roy.
Only my memories remind me of the terror.
Like John Roy said that, like he had a joke about how you can't intimidate in the NBA those guys.
Yeah.
Because like, what are you gonna say? Like, oh, come on, boy, you don't want to come here, man. This is you know, I'm from the streets. He's like, my entire family was blown to bits.
Exactly.
There was massive revolution, gunfire everywhere. That guy's not going to be intimidated by your fucking...
We played soccer with decapitated heads.
Yeah. Well, that's what you did anyway, CB.
Yes, but that it's legal over there.
It's crazy. I know, there's just, but it's a certain toughness these people have that we don't appreciate.
That's true, no. The weather is even tougher.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, you think these fires are man-made? You think someone's starting these?
Yeah, I think Russia's doing it. I'm not kidding.
It's the kid that came over.
I really do. Listen, I am sent here to play with Mitches in the woods. Wait, that is awfully coincidental.
Wait, based on what you think Russians are...
The Russians set the fires to create the chaos. This is what they want for America. This is their vision.
The Russians... You think the Russians are causing the fires?
Yes, I think the Russians based set on the what? Fire so that we would complain about Trump not helping us out. And division in our country. There you go.
I don't think the Russians are setting fires in California.
Yeah. It's that kid on your wrestling team.
Why wouldn't they go to the White House?
I am so nice. I love to wrestle. Oh, Zippo lighter. This one light even in wind. May I borrow for 24 hour?
I don't think that's happening, but I understand. It's an interesting perspective. You actually think that for real?
No.
Oh. But people are thinking it's like arsonists. It's like going around.
And that I do believe because it's awfully coincidental. These fires, these areas, like.
And it's cold as shit outside sometimes. Like,
it is very strange.
Somebody's sitting there with a magnifying glass under the sun just trying to ice up or fire up the plants.
So anyway,
you're tuned into the Comedy Cooler. CB Gold.
Anyway, last night Invicta went on, and I thought the other girl won. The girl for the main event, it was Maya.
Nedvich.
Yeah, Nedvich, I thought won. I thought she got screwed in that fight. It was close enough where you could argue both ways. I'll tell you though, Mackenzie Dern, right? So this girl's a world champion jiu-jitsu, hot from Brazil. Everyone's like on her. And I think that she's got a long way to go.
So do I.
But they have to match her up so carefully because I don't think that if she would have fought the girl she fought had like 6 or 7 losses.
Yeah, but Colleen, I thought Colleen would have done a little bit better. I mean, I watched that fight, but I going into it, I was like, Colleen Medeiros is not one to fuck with. Like, we've seen her fight live a few times, but people are like, she needs to go to the UFC now. I'm like, no. Any top 10,
she'll get killed.
And she's got to get her weight on point. Because it's either, you know, sometimes she's trying to go to 115, she can't make it. Sometimes she's going to 125. You know, even that was a tough cut.
Great butt, though. Her butt is jiggling. I could see the hype between, like...
No, she's hot, and she's a sweetheart. She really is a nice girl. But she does have a long road to travel. The hype train is going to be on the tracks for a little while, but don't go to the UFC too fast.
Bye. That was a good thing about that Rose and Jędrzejczyk fight. That was enough time to, you know,
what?
Squeeze one out.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I thought about it. I mean, sexy. Man.
I love everybody that's trying to compare Rose to Eleven from Stranger Things now. did she have a nosebleed in the fight?
Do you think she'll even be able to defend it once?
I think that.
Yes.
Look, when I spoke to Pat Barry, he was like, dude, she has power. And this is a heavyweight guy. He's like, dude, this little girl, I held a mitts for her, and I was like, this girl. And I think that Joanna underestimated Rose's power.
I think so.
And that's the worst thing you can do as a fighter. But Joanna was so dominant that it was easy to do that, especially she was like believing her own hype and I'm going to break Ronda's record. She was looking so fucking past Rose, and I could see why. But I think in a rematch, which I think Joanna should get a rematch.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Joanna wins the rematch. I think so too. But if the UFC was smart, they would not make that fight because she's, I think Rose is way more marketable than Joanna.
Yeah.
Joanna doesn't speak English, from Poland. Rose is adorable, beautiful, like sweet, mental health advocate. Just mm-hmm. By the way, with long hair, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, I've seen Rose? It.
Yeah.
Somebody photoshopped that and tweeted to us.
So, no, you could just Google old photos. She's only had the shaved head the last few fights.
Gorgeous. Meanwhile, so GSP vacated his title, which I wrote a joke. He actually vacated more titles than McGregor defended. And now, which I think is good because he was not going to be successful.
Well, he now has ulcerative colitis too.
What is that?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with, it's something to do with your colon, and it's bad. Like, it's rough to have.
Maybe he'll fight at 125.
He's gonna be the first person to submit somebody via fucking shit face.
Ah, fuck. So anyway, GSP, who I think is one of my favorite people, now it makes sense though at 85 because it's gonna be
Rockhold and Whitaker.
Rockhold
and supposedly Whitaker got declared the undisputed champ already.
Well, Gastelum's very upset about this.
And I proposed that posted the question on Twitter of like, who thinks Kelvin got screwed? And people are like, he didn't get screwed. He lost two fights ago. I said, so did Rockhold.
Yeah, but he lost to the guy that Rockhold beat.
I know. I think that it should have been Kelvin and Whitaker.
The thing about it is that Kelvin is not a 185-pounder.
No, he's not.
He just likes to eat.
But neither was GSP.
Yeah, but Kelvin, at 170, Kelvin could be the champion.
Yes.
I don't think at 85 he could be the champion.
Well, no, the top five, the guy, Rockhold is huge. For 185,
they're cutting from 220, 230.
Jacare, those guys, yeah, they're a lot bigger, but who knows, I think Kelvin should lobby for the winner, or they give him the winner of Jacare and Brunson, because now that's the next one, and depending on who wins that one, they could argue that gets the winner of Rockhold Whitaker, but I don't know, man. I think Whitaker knocks Rockhold's head off. I think he hits too damn hard.
No, who's ever knocked Rockhold's head off?
I mean, Bisping knocked him out, but Whitaker's one of the hardest hitters at 185. That dude hits.
Yeah, but he was
hard.
So looking past Bisping.
And it's in Australia.
I don't care. I think Rockhold beats Whitaker.
I think it's a good fight. I think it's a good stand-up war. I don't think either one's going for a takedown.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think Rock takes paper. Rock takes scissors. Scissors takes paper.
That's that's not even the main event for that. It is. I was thinking of 220. I got Cyborg.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to not see that. But I think if anyone could give her trouble, it's...
I think this is the best matchup in the women's 35-45 divisions.
I don't think... I'm going to be in Vegas that week, by the way, doing the LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere. I just hope that weekend sells. I don't know...
I don't think it will because...
By the way, no secret, I'm hot for Holly Holm, right?
Yes.
That's out there, so...
I think she's married, though.
Oh, yeah.
So
doesn't mean I can't be hot for her. Do you think that I can still be hot for her? I'm still hot for a lot of married ladies.
Do you think that Cyborg beats Holm?
Oh yeah, all day. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to enjoy it if there's a good mid-fight finger bang. And
I don't think it's going to the ground.
I think there will be.
I don't think it's going to the ground.
Cyborg will take her to the ground at some point.
I hope that Holly Holm wins. I mean, Jackson's really smart. They're going to come up with a really good game plan for her. And Cyborg's getting old. She is getting old.
I mean, I've seen her training videos, and I've been talking to Ray a little bit, and, she's looking good. So I'm excited for this fight. I just wish they would have gotten a better main event than that. I think it's a great fight.
I also hope Khabib fucking shows up.
Yeah.
Khabib and Barbosa is another very intriguing matchup. I think Barbosa has a chance to dethrone the undefeated record of Khabib.
Really? Why?
Because Edson is just super quick. He stays at range, good footwork, good head movement, and just throws crazy wild kicks from a distance. Khabib's got to get close to get that takedown, and it's not going to be as easy as people think.
Has he ever not gotten a fucking takedown in MMA? He grabs you. He's got, I'm telling you, this little
no,
kid.
No, I know, but he has to grab you.
It's a different, these Russians.
The wrestling the bear.
It's different. It's
can I say something, CB? I know I bust your chops a lot, man, but your analysis is really fucking great.
I try, man. Yeah, and man, coming from you, that actually means a lot. Unless your cogs are working in your brain right now being completely sarcastic.
No, I mean, really mean it. It's fun. I miss this part. I miss listening to you guys break down the fights.
When was the last fight you watched?
It was the St. Pierre fight with what's his face, which I thought
the three new champions.
Know, and that's the thing. What's his name? I just felt like I feel like everyone felt like he wasn't. He was such a beatable champion anyway. Like he
who,
just
Bisping?
Was, yeah, Bisping didn't have a lot of variation to his game.
He was a big underdog.
And so it looked, I mean, with George St. Pierre, I'm like, if he's anywhere near healthy, George St. Pierre shouldn't really.
No, but he was coming up a weight class. He hadn't fought in 4 years.
Well, that was the thing. The big layoff, that was the big X factor. But generally speaking, he should have had the tools to beat him pretty handily.
Well, you know what? I thought Bisping was going to win until I saw the until I saw that he was 3 years older.
Every time Bisping defended his title, I was shocked.
He never defended it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He defended against Hendo.
Yeah, which I thought he might have lost that fight.
He might have.
That was very close.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I was always surprised. Like, I can't believe he's still the champ.
So we're calling Don Fry now. Let's see.
Oh, this will be a good.
Let's see if Don Fry actually picks up. I don't know if he's going to pick up.
It's a Saturday. We don't know what his...
I don't think he knows it's Saturday.
He may not.
Yeah, Don
he's
Fry...
He's probably out ranching from the back of a Cadillac somewhere.
Don Fry has Don Fry time. You know, he does what he wants. Dude, so he was... you see that thing where he kept trying to hit on Misha Tate during that speech?
No.
He was doing this, like...
What about
he was inducting someone in the Hall of Fame, and his entire speech was like... Misha Tate's here. We make great-looking kids. I just want to... You're a fine piece of meat. It was like...
And then he left a love letter for Kat Zingano at the LFA fights because she was commenting. So she went in to do an interview with one of the winners. She comes back. There's an envelope there from Don Fry with his phone number, and inside was like a love letter of like, I want to take you out on a date. And Kat Zingano posted the whole thing on Twitter. It was pretty funny. He's got a lot of balls, but before he did that, he was hanging out with Shannon Rich.
Oh, by the way, there's you're right about that.
$50,000 bounty to beat Shannon Rich.
There's a promotion now called Gender Wars, where it's a guy versus a girl in the main event, and now they're also doing if you beat Shannon Rich, you get $50,000. Shannon Rich has lost 125 fights
in the last 12 minutes.
Yeah, he either wins by knockout or loses in the first round under very shady circumstances.
Right,
like he kind of gives up a little bit. Like I don't know, he kind of leaves his neck out for you to kind of put him in a standing guillotine. He lost by standing guillotine 6 fights in a row.
Maybe he needs to join the middle school wrestling team and learn how to do a proper takedown.
At least make the guy earn it.
Are
you
saying this guy might be for sale? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. But I don't.
Hello,
Don Fry.
Hello. Yeah.
How's it going? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. What's new?
Nothing much. What about you, partner?
Doing good, man. Just moved. I got married. I'm just with the wife. Coaching middle school wrestling. Doing comedy. Just living the American dream, man. Living the dream.
Wow. Congratulations.
Now I got a couple questions for you. Number one, you're a legend. Thanks for being on the podcast.
That's not a question.
Number two, you called out Mike Tyson a couple times on the undercard of McGregor versus
Mayweather.
Did Tyson ever respond to you?
No, I don't think anybody ever read it to him. So, I mean, good, which is good because my shoulder's not ready yet. You know, I got to get my shoulder replaced. So maybe the next time McGregor and Mayweather fight, we do it.
Now, how do you think the fight would have went between you and Tyson?
Well, right now he'd have killed me because I don't have a right arm. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I think once I get my arm back together, I think it'd be a good fight.
Yeah, that'd be a great fight. That'd be a great fight. Now, my other question is that you during your speech for the Hall of Fame, you asked out Misha Tate like 6 times, said you wanted to have her baby or her to have your baby. You guys would make some great babies, you know, and you wanted her to ride your mustache. Did anything ever come of that?
No, I got a letter from her attorney saying to stay away from her and never mention her name again. You know. So.
Really?
No.
Oh.
But yeah, she didn't respond, so I figured, you know, no sense in talking about that one. You know, it's all Paige Van Zandt.
Yeah.
You know, that night she was running around with California kid there, you know, and she chewed my ass because. He said, what the hell? You forget all about me? You're chasing you're chasing somebody else. And I said, lady, I said, how old are you? And she said, 30. She's not going to settle over you, you know? And by the way, I hear you got a good-looking mom anyways. Never give me a call.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Now, Ben, CB said that you wrote a letter to Kat Zingano. How'd that go?
What's that now?
Our co-host said that you wrote a love letter to Kat Zingano.
When the hell did I do that?
At the LFA fights in Arizona?
At the LFA fights in Arizona?
I wrote her a love letter.
Is that what happened?
I saw on Zingano's Twitter that you left an envelope at Zingano's commenting table with your name and number on it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was because she had mentioned the gym where she works out, you know, might be interested in me doing a seminar there.
Oh, there you go. See, yeah, there you go.
So she presented it differently.
Got it.
That's all that was for, man.
Don, these women don't know. These women can't handle you, man. You're too much of a man for these girls.
I know this generation. You know they want somebody they can boss around and they can slap around. You know, Jesus. There's no women that can handle a man anymore.
That's the truth.
They want to wear the pants.
They want these guys with tight jeans and man buns who listen to The Used or some shitty band. but guys like you, you're a guy that went to Japan and fought and like had some of the greatest fights in the world and you entered a K-1 kickboxing event without ever throwing a kick before. That's some man shit right there, man.
Man, what a very smart man, shit. Yeah, that's what.
But these women, right? These younger girls, they don't appreciate a guy like Don Fry, you know?
No, I mean, if nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't do something stupid in your life, you know, you don't have any scars and you don't have any stories. So, geez, you know, I got carpal tunnel syndrome from sitting on the Xbox all day long.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a hell of an injury.
CB, hear that? Now the Bellator heavyweight tournament, right? Bellator is doing a tournament. I don't know if you know Greg. And it's who's in the tournament?
It's Matt Mitrione, Roy Nelson, Ryan Bader, King Mo, Chael, Rampage,
Fedor,
and Frank Mir.
And,
okay.
And who do you think wins this tournament?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's very interesting, does it? Let's see.
Sounds like the cast of an Expendables spinoff.
Was that you that told me last week or 2 weeks ago that Matt Mitrione said that anybody who uses steroids should to go to prison for attempted murder?
I didn't tell you that, but...
Somebody else did. That's going to be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. Crying my name.
Yeah, but you never did steroids, Don.
They let that dumb son of a bitch drive a car.
His mustache did.
He should be taking the short school bus and where he goes.
Yeah, Mitrione says a lot of things, but you never did steroids, right? But a lot of guys you fought did.
Hell, baby, I donate them, man. I donate them by the bucket. I donate sperm by the bucket to people. You know? I don't want to shit to the scientists. I don't need them. I got enough left over for, you know, all mankind.
Yeah, exactly. You got enough sperm left for all mankind. That's my fucking... You're my hero, Don. You are my fucking hero. By the way, that comedy club you came to that I got banned from, they're bringing me back.
Yeah.
They're actually bringing me back.
They are.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Congratulations. Did they fire that one gal or what?
The waitress left. She walked by and I go, hey, give it up to the waitress. I'm like trying to hit that later. And then they threw me out.
Yeah.
Like while I was on stage, I was like, this is why they're throwing people out now. Like what? Different world, man.
Different world, man.
Different world.
It is. Everybody's sensitive, overly sensitive. Everybody, you know, everybody wants to be offended, which is a candy-ass term to begin with.
Yeah, no.
Everybody needs to relax.
Everyone should be. Now, Don, I know you were a big Trump supporter. Do you still support the man?
You're damn right I'm a Trump supporter. You're damn right. I think he's doing a great job. You know, he's doing a... Yeah, it's doing as good a job as Reagan did, you know. I mean, crap, this country's been in the fucking toilet for 40 years, you know, since Reagan left office. So Trump's bringing it back. And we finally got some respect for Aldo Plano.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about him, though, is sometimes he says things like with the whole when the Nazis were marching, and he's like, well, there were some good people on both sides. I'm like, no, there weren't. There were not good people. And even with Roy Moore, he's like, well, we don't want a liberal. Yeah, but we don't want a fucking child rapist either. I'd rather have a liberal than a child. I mean, stuff like that, it's hard to get behind. But to each his own.
Yeah, he screws up every once in a while. Those are just minor. Those are minor glitches, whereas, you know, liberals, they're fucked up 24 hours a day.
There's got to be someone better than anybody. Don, you should run. I would vote for you, for real.
And you know what your slogan should be? I got enough sperm for everyone. That'll be awesome.
I would vote for Don Fry.
Oh, my God, yes.
Don Fry and Dan Severn. I think that would be a good ticket. You and Severn.
Yeah,
but they'd have to fight for presidency.
Well, yeah, what was that?
They'd have to fight for who gets president.
No, those two guys would never fight.
I know, but who's going to be president and who's vice president?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They're both alpha males.
Nah, I think Don's more of an alpha male than Dan.
I know, but I'm saying they're both.
So anyway, any new acting gigs coming out? Any new movies coming out?
The Enter the Fist movie, the Sean Stone movie. What was it? Enter the Fist and the Golden Fleece, right? That should be coming out pretty soon. Then last year I did a movie called Animal Among Us. You know, that he's trying to figure out which film festivals he wants to take that to. Woody did a great job writing and directing that movie, you know, John Woodruff. And then there's Chuck Hankin, San Diego Twins. That should be coming out here pretty soon. So then a couple others, they're trying to decide, you know, what route they want to go, with the festival route or just release it. You know, something like Netflix or something.
So here we go. Enter the Fist and the Golden Fleece. It's you, Danny Trejo, Ron Jeremy, Jason London, Richard Grieco, Tommy Tiny Lister, Jeremy London. How are those guys doing, the London brothers?
It was a fun film, man. It was really fun to work on. I had a lot of fun. Bill Goldberg and I did a fight scene in a car wash. That was like a, you know, 15-20 minute fight scene. It was a blast.
Michael Winslow's in it. Tommy Davidson is playing a homeless comic.
Jesus
Chuck
Christ.
Zito, Victor Ortiz is in this.
He's a great guy. Man, he's a lot of fun too, man.
This Gene LaBelle, Judo Gene's in it.
Judo Gene.
Don Fry, you're playing Willie. In it, this is a good. I like this. Hegan Machado's in it. This guy Tehran, a comic I know, is playing Count Bakula. I like this. This is a cool movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, Richard Grieco. I mean, that guy's a fantastic actor, man. Just fantastic. When I worked with Stephen Lang and. I worked with Michael Bure, you know, and Richard Grieco. You just sit back and you just watch them work, and then you forget what you're doing. You know, somebody's gonna say, "Hey, it's your line." I mean, oh shit, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's awesome. What's his name? Richard Grieco. I loved him in 21 Jump Street. That was. I remember him. He was in 21 Jump Street. Now, what was I gonna say? So. Recently, George Foreman called out Steven Seagal. Who do you think wins in that fight?
What would he call him up for? The chicken eat contest? Is it a buffet attack or what?
They said he said any rules.
They fight, they're eating.
Uh, if they were fighting, who do you think wins?
Oh, hell, man. George Foreman would kill him. George Foreman would kill him. Man. Oh, jeez. You ever see George Foreman hit something? Cry, man. That guy's a killer.
Yeah, Foreman versus Seagal. I would definitely watch that.
Hell yeah.
He actually called him out, Greg. Foreman, yeah. Well, wow, this Enter the Fist movie, I actually really want to see this now. Where could I watch?
It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I was over in Ohio making Animal Among Us, and I got the phone call, you know, to come in and take, you know, God bless him,
don't worry about it. But also Maryse Mazanian's in it. She's a WWE diva. CB, you know this girl?
What?
She's fucking hot.
Yeah. Oh, Maryse?
Yeah.
That's the Miz's wife.
Oh, she's hot. Jesus Christ. There's some fucking hot chicks in this movie. What about Bianca Bridget Van Damme? Is that Jean-Claude Van Damme's wife or something?
Daughter. That's his daughter.
Nice. Wait, let me get on this.
Damn. She's playing Anaconda.
Damn.
And then Jenna Sims. Jesus Christ. Forget fucking Kat Zingano and Misha Tate. You should try to hook up with Jenna Sims. Jesus Christ. I don't know.
Who the hell's Jenna Sims?
I don't know. She was in the movie with you. She was in the movie. That's
Yeah. What part did she play?
She played Chastity.
I have to watch the movie now, huh?
You got to watch this. Well, listen, Don, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Keep up the great work, man. You're one of my I'm doing the MMA awards this year again. I'm going to see if they're going to get you as the host. I'm going to put it in that I want you to host it. I can't make any promises. I'm just telling you that you have my vote.
When is it?
It's in March.
Where at?
They're working on the venue now. So,
but, I'm in Vegas or in LA?
Yeah, Vegas.
Hell, they better bring me to Vegas. Crank me.
Yeah.
Crank me.
Absolutely. Well,
I think that warrant expired, so I can return to Vegas now.
Oh, no, yeah. good. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, listen, man. Don, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
That was Don Fry.
Dude, that guy, you know who he is? Okay, remember Mickey Rourke's character in Sin City?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the real version of that. That's who he is.
Jesus Christ. That
what a man.
That the Don Fry Takayama fight was the greatest fight I've ever seen in my life. It was fight?
It was crazy.
They're
holding each other by the neck and just keep fucking cracking each other for like 30, 45 seconds.
Here, will you bring it up for Greg? But yeah, that's by far the greatest fight I've ever seen in my life. So, Greg, what do you have coming up?
What am I doing? I mean, I'm still working on the game show, but later on during Christmas week, I'll be in El Paso at the comic strip.
Nice.
And then on the 29th, I'll be in Las Vegas at the South Point Casino for the Dirty at 12:30.
There you go.
And so you'll be there that week, right?
Yes.
So I'm staying there on Saturday. I'm staying through till New Year's Eve, and then New Year's Eve, I'm going to Seattle to headline the Underground. If you live in the Seattle area, I'll be headlining the Underground for New Year's Eve. But that Saturday night is open, which I know has the fight.
And guess who's going to take you?
You are.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to the fight.
Yes.
That'll be awesome, dude. Absolutely. I was hoping that would happen, bro.
I got you, bro.
That's very exciting. We're going to see my girl, Holly.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm probably going to have to leave early. You have to stay.
I'll stay. I'll watch. Yeah. I'll fill you in. I'll text you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Show him the Don Fry. You want to see one of the greatest fights of all time?
Look at that. Jesus. It's like a bar fight in a ring. And look at it goes on forever.
It just keeps going
Jesus.
On. That's
he starts to go to the.
It went the distance, if I remember correctly.
No. Eventually, Takayama.
There's no way this fight. How can you be a fight analyst?
It went a lot longer than fucking.
That fight did not go to distance. Eventually, Takayama fell, and Don Fry was the was the winner.
Oh my God, that's ridiculousness.
That's when men were men. He is sort of like a dying breed. But I'm telling you, you know what
I like that he's like, now women want to slap you around. I'm like, well, he.
I don't know if they ever wanted to be slapped around in the first place.
He's like, they like it when we slap them around. Am I right, guys? He's just such that guy. That he does that, I'm not saying he does that. I just thought that was a funny way.
No, he actually, you know what, though? Here's a guy, because I talked about him a lot in the podcast, that when he was married, he never cheated,
right?
Never strayed. He's a good guy. A lot of these guys, ladies out there, who see so-called male feminists, and they want the this and that, and they tell you what you want to hear. They're out fucking around on you. They're out doing. They have. You just see it. You know. They're into open relationships. Whatever they're into. They're the Jamie Kilstein effect of like they'll say whatever you want to your face, but then it's different. It's different. You know. For a guy like Don Fry has a certain moral compass where he lives by his code.
Yeah.
Him, the Punisher is like that. there's certain men where like yeah, you know, maybe they'll tell you things you don't want to hear, yeah. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Versus guys that'll just lie to you, keep you happy, but it's a different type of beta male bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you got coming up, CB?
Moving next week, so other than working...
Anything that people could actually support you with?
Yeah, I was getting to it.
All right.
Other than moving, I'm at the tattoo shop.
You'd like to come help me move?
No, I hired movers,
that'd
man.
That would be very helpful.
I have three dead bodies.
I'm fucking lazy. Yeah. Three? That's a light load. That's like a fucking Wednesday morning.
I can carry the coffee maker.
Actually, my parents moving. I'm just going with them.
I'll be living in Palm Springs.
Graffiti Palace Tattoo, North Hollywood. I'm there Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, but we're open every day. Right now we're doing a couple different things. We're doing a Toys for Tots fundraiser. If you bring a toy over $20, we'll give you $50 off your tattoo price, up to $150 for bringing
two or three toys. Didn't you just get $15,000 for Hanukkah?
This is not paying me. This is paying the artists. Oh, like, okay. My artists have to make a living, too. All
right.
So you can come in and do that. I discussed a new deal with my co-owner. If you come in and mention MMA Roasted Podcast, we'll give you 10% off whatever tattoo you want to get. We hired a new artist on Wednesday, so we have three artists now, Abel, Muffy, and Caesar. All great.
Sounds like dogs.
A little bit.
Go on.
All great artists. Check us out. Instagram, Twitter, Graffiti Palace Tattoo. Facebook, Abel's Graffiti Palace Tattoo. And come see us. 4427 Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood.
All right.
That's awesome.
I like it.
You know, I've always wanted to get a tattoo.
Really?
If I decide to get a tattoo, I'm coming to
anyone else's shop. Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
No way! I'm coming to your shop.
I still don't know if he actually owns the place. I'm gonna call up one day and be like, no, I just told him what I want to do. I want to. Who? I was gonna
somebody
call
already
to,
did. Somebody did that like right after I took over, but they asked for CB, which nobody knows me there. CB. So they were like, yeah, there's nobody here by the name of CB.
That's interesting.
That's not my real name. So
the important thing is that you named it after somebody else. Abel's Graffiti. That's great.
They know you there as
Graffiti Palace.
Okay, but so they know you there as guy who washes the floor. Is that why they didn't know?
You think this Jew does manual labor? That's
a very good point.
No, yeah.
All right, so
DJ's the bathroom.
All right, listen.
Depending on the mood.
Next Friday night, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood at 9:45. If you want free tickets, hit me up. And then Las Vegas, Monday the 25th to the 31st, I'm at the Stratosphere Hotel. Then the first week of January, I'm in Temecula and Pechanga. Then I'm in San Diego on January 12th and 13th. And like you said, underground in Seattle, I'm there the 18th through the 20th at the Underground of Washington. I'm recording my CD there.
Oh, nice.
So I heard it's a great place to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's got the low ceiling thing, so the laughter really accelerates.
Yeah, which is such a big factor. You don't realize that as a comic. So many times you're like, man, I think I'm bombing, but the fucking ceiling is so high up.
Totally. All the laughter is just escaping right into the air, and you can't even feel it. Remember when they tried to run the club out of the movie theater? Remember that at the Hollywood Highland?
Yeah.
And it was just like, I mean, it was fun, but you couldn't hear any laughter.
Yeah.
It was a sound absorption room.
I know.
You know? So it always, no matter what, it sounded like silence.
I want
that was the toughest room. I mean, not tough room. The parlor was far worse.
Let's get Greg Wilson a goddamn Netflix fucking special.
That's right, guys. That's right. My Twitter campaign continues. You could just retweet that top tweet on my profile at the Greg Wilson.
1,000%. You deserve it. I mean, I appreciate both of us, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, because we do both deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, and you should absolutely have one too. I mean, we're the kind of guys that, you know, sometimes I just want to be like, hey, you know, not all great comedians have big time managers. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of us. There's some of us out there.
You think that's part of the problem?
That is the problem. It's all kind of a corporate thing where the guy over there is listening to 3 Arts. He's listening to Brilliant, which you want to, because those are the guys that kind of run this stuff.
I know so many people that do comedy like 3 times a week, and it's like just average, and they do average at every club. And
every time somebody gets a TV show,
because they're managed by 3 Arts.
Or like somebody gets a TV show and we come on the podcast and no names listed, but like you're like, they don't deserve a TV show. TV, they could barely TV do 30 like, minute special.
Think about it though. I know a couple comics that got Showtime specials and it did absolutely nothing for their career.
No, absolutely. That's most Showtime.
All they did was like burn their material, basically.
You know, and the same is true with Comedy Central now. I mean, guys get half hours. I mean, we have a friend in common that did an hour, and I was like, hey man, we gotta celebrate. He's like, man, I gotta push this thing. Like, they're really putting on him to promote his hour.
I have a good friend who is a great comic, one of the best. I mean, he would kill. He would be the kind of guy that I would recommend to a show. I'd be like, I remember Brett Ernst used to run this room, and I got him the gig. And then the next day, who else do you have? That's how good he was, right? Because they're like, and Peter Berman is his name, right? Yeah. And Peter Berman was one of the best. And he did like, you know, back when it was for Kilborn, like twice, 3 times. Then he had a half hour special. And now he does comedy like a couple times a year. He opened up a dog store with his a pet store with his wife, and they run a pet store, and that's like he's out of it. He had a half hour special 5 years ago. It did, and now he's running. He's not even doing comedy anymore because he just got fucking sick of it. He got sick of traveling. He's got 2 kids. But it's funny though because Marc Maron goes to his like pet shop. He's telling me the story. So I probably shouldn't tell the story, but whatever. So Marc Maron. And Maron was like buying stuff for his cats, and he would always talk to him, and they became friends. And then Maron's like, "I'm gonna put you in one of my TV shows on Maron." So he like gets there, and he reads the script, and it's like bitter guy who quit comedy who now runs a pet store. He's like,
"I remember that he told the story outside of the dime one night."
Like, what the fuck? Like, he almost walked out. He's like, I'll do it, but
let's do it because I mean, it pays. So I need the credit, but fuck you.
And they made him audition for it too.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It's insane. It's this business. It's like
that's a sweet dick move. What a sick burn. That's a sick burn right there.
But like, look, you have to love it. The only reason I do this gig is because I love it.
Oh sure.
And because when I'm on stage, there's no better except for maybe busting a nut like with that three seconds, but. But that's a pretty good feeling too. But just that,
just comedy is a little more sustained.
Comedy is like any drug I've ever done times it by 5, and that's the feeling you get when you're making people laugh. When you're looking down on people and they're crying, and they're or they're
like, my body, my stomach hurts, my stomach hurts. When they see you massaging their cheeks, trying to get their cheeks to go down, or they're literally grabbing their sides like, stop, and then boy, that's when I go.
That's to me, it's the best. And that's why I'm like, guys like me and you, like we do that on a fucking weekly basis.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Daily basis.
Showtime. Like, why aren't you giving the guy who like makes them laugh?
Yeah.
But it's just, you know what it is, all of it also is you get these alternative comics that do all these like kind of obscure stories and they're kind of funny and they're maybe a little bit deep here and there. But they make the booker laugh because he's like that guy.
I don't begrudge those guys. Let them do what they do and that's fine too. I mean, at the end of the day,
But don't just reward those guys.
Right, exactly. I'm not trying to take anything off their plate.
But I love it when those guys...
Let's not pretend that that's all comedy is right
now. But I love when those guys go to an actual comedy club.
They die a horrible death.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is a life of comedy. So many of these guys have had opportunities and they can't live the life of comedy because when you get out on the road, the audiences don't give a fuck about that. You just have to be funny, really funny, for a very long time, and that's when these guys wilt. And they wind up, you know, falling out of comedy more often than not.
Well, it's like a non-comedian. Like, you see, okay, they get a TV show, they get a special. The name is big, so they're going to bring more people into the club. And then they get there, and there's, you know, 500 or 1,000 people, or you sold out a theater. And then they get up, and they have no, like, real stand-up routine. You're like, I'm literally here for a name. This guy is not that fucking funny.
Yeah. Well,
the thing is, the bookers don't care as long as they get that one time.
Exactly. Or, you know, yeah. Or fill the seats.
Or people that are on popular podcasts sometimes. Like, I've had people come to me and go, hey, I love your show. I've seen five guys that have podcasts, and all they do is tell the same stories they told on the podcast. I'm like, really? That's what these guys are doing now? Like, they're just that's the art form now? It's just, I'm going to go up there and tell five stories that I've told, you've heard on the podcast before?
And I think that's one of the cool things that you do, is every week we do this show, you have new, like, crowd work stories, or, like, you met somebody at the show, and it's not something you're reusing. It's something fresh from the last week, and it's engaging, because your shows are, they always have entertaining stories. So even if, you know, you go somewhere where you don't like one or two of the other comedians on the show, you have you, and you, every set is unique, and there's always something funny going on.
And
that's your wedding present.
Listen, Greg, listen, you came back today.
I love you, TV. I miss you, buddy.
You came back today. In the new year, we're gonna figure it out. We're gonna make it work.
I love being on the show, whether I
come to you to make your drive easier.
It's tough to get out of
here. Now that we have Speedweeds as a sponsor, maybe that always helps.
Well, I mean, you know, Saturday certainly helps. So.
Saturday.
I'm cool. Like right next, my new place is going to be like right next to the 405 and 101 in Encino, like almost at Sepulveda.
Well, we'll figure it. Maybe one day we'll do your house.
Like in the middle, whatever you guys want
to
do.
I mean, whenever you can get the lime to cover up the scent of the dead bodies, that's when we can go over there.
Well, it was great having you back.
That's the ambiance.
Thank you, Don Fry.
Yeah, what a man.
Mitch Clark.
The good old days.
We got to come up with a name for Mitch Clark, a wrestling name. Like, well, we got to give him.
That's your thing, man.
Well, I was thinking about it while he was on the phone, and I'm just not quite there yet.
All right.
So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for ending up. Listen, you guys, this has been great. Love you guys. Thanks, listeners. Thanks. Bye.